Well, can you tell me a little bit, start off telling me a little bit about your mother and where she was born and her maiden name? And
well, her name was Opal Jane Temple, and she was born in Paintsville in March 27th, 1899. And she lived there. Now, wait a minute. That's wrong. I'm sorry. No, she lived I think she was born in Fayette County, actually. And I can't remember exactly, which I'll look it up, but I can't remember exactly the name. It was a funny little place. But it really was not a town. What it was, it's like a little community. And my grandfather was with the railroad, and with the C&O Railroad. And he had his family in this place in Fayette County, because I think his route carried him so that he could probably come home at night. I'm not positive about that, but I think so. And then she was, but she lived a long time in Paintsville, and she went to school at one time at Millersburg when there was a female academy there. And she went to school there, and I have someplace, I think, maybe some pictures. I'm not sure, but I think I might have some pictures of her there. But I remember she said they lived there. And then I think eventually they settled in Winchester. And that's where I remember my grandparents mostly, was in Winchester. And Granddaddy would come home on weekends.
Can you describe how Opal fit in with, just in terms of being born? I know her parents had lost different sets of children, and where she fits in.
There was two boys, and then Uncle Stanley, and then I think another son. And then there was my mother. And then there was Charles. And then there was Marguerite. And then there was Helen. And that's the one I was named for. But I think there were three boys that died. And then Charles died at 21. And then Helen died of diphtheria. So that they had the three children remaining. And I'm trying to remember what else I can talk about there.
And I don't know if she ever communicated this to you, I know when you suffer the loss of a child, it creates all kinds of dynamics, obviously, in the family. Did she ever talk to you about
No, I never. I think being the one that was named for the last one, not the last one, the next to the last one that died was Charles, and he was a very special individual. He was like an older brother for me. He was a good-looking young man. He was a charming young man, and his nickname, and it was complimentary. It was not a joke. It was complimentary. They called him Pretty. And he went to the local college, which was Kentucky Wesleyan, at that time was in Winchester. And he went to school there, and I think he did go on to UK. But then he came to Later on, he came to Carrollton, where my father had started this electric company in Indiana. And he worked there for him. And he had met a young lady, a local young lady there in, it's a town that's near Vivi, Indiana. And he met her, and they fell in love, and they were engaged to be married. And he developed typhoid fever and died in my home, actually in my bed. But because in those days they didn't have a hospital there. But I felt that the loss of Charles tremendously. I was just a little kid, but
how old were you when mom died?
I think I was 11. I think he died in 1930, and I was 11. And it was.
How did it all unfold? Like, did he all of a sudden, did he just get sick? He went to the doctor, or he was diagnosed? Was it like very quickly, very suddenly, or was
it? I think it was a matter of a couple of weeks. And they thought he was doing better, and then he took a sudden dive. And I can remember waking up in the night, and the house was full of people. And that's when I realized, and I heard somebody crying and saying he was so young. And
how old was he when he died?
He was 21.
21.
And that summer, I went up to visit the girl he married, he was to marry. And she was really neat, and she lived on, they lived on the river. And the man of the house farmed, but, you know, I'm sure probably there was, with Charles was a swimmer, and I'm sure that he, the swimming was where he got the typhoid fever. Or, you know, who knows? You can just speculate. And they had, there was no hospital in Carrollton, and they thought he was improving. And then wham, that it was all over. But so, then he was the last, and he was the one that I was close to that I remember.
So he and Opal must have had a special relationship.
Well, they did. But Charles was that kind of person. He had special, everybody's, you know, he was one of those that everybody had something good to say about. And, but.
But he must have had a special relationship with Opal if he was at her house.
Well, he did. And he had a special relationship with my father. As I said, he was a neat young man. Really special. But.
So Opal, was she named after anyone?
Her father had a sister, Opal. So I'm sure that was who she was named for.
And tell me a little, I mean, did she ever talk to you about her upbringing and...
Who, Opal?
Uh-huh. No. You talked a little bit about she went to this girls' school.
I knew she went to the girls' school, and it. I don't know if it was high school or college. I really don't know. I'm thinking it was like high school, but I may be mistaken. I'm not sure. But
what kind of relationship did she have with her parents?
Well, I think she had a good relationship. She was devoted to her father. And she was devoted to her mother, too. And they had a good relationship. And
what were her interests? What were some of her interests?
Well, she loved to play bridge. She loved to play cards. But then, in our household, you know, we played cards a lot, and because that was what everybody did. They didn't have all these board games like they have now. But we played cards a lot. And I loved to play cards. And we'd play poker. And I loved to play poker. We'd just have chips, you know, and just play for fun. But
because she's the one who laughed a lot and liked to have fun. Oh, she kind of serious and what was she like?
Well, she liked to have fun, and I'm trying to think. She had a, you know, I'm guessing she had a social life. I just never really thought an awful lot about it. And
was it difficult? Was it difficult for her to move to, you all moved to Eastern Kentucky? Where Murray is? Is that right?
No, what?
You all moved, wasn't it Murray? Where was it you're talking about all the mud going?
Moorhead.
Was it difficult moving?
I was 8 years old. I don't remember.
You don't remember?
No, well, I'm sure it wasn't, because I'm sure it was difficult. But then, my father had had acquaintances, and we always were involved with the church. And my mother was involved. My father always sang in the choir, and my mother was involved with the church. You know, not overly so, but they had women's groups, and she was always a part of that, and I always had to go to Sunday school. She had Sunday school, so I don't think, and I think she could meet people well. But I, you know, that was a place. But it was, you know, it was nice, except we have to laugh. I wore boys' boots, laced up boots, you know, with a knife in the pocket, to school, because I lived right across from Moorhead University and Moorhead State. I've forgotten what they called it then, but you had to wear something like that. It was so muddy, and because they didn't know, the streets weren't paved. So that was something. Of course, it's all changed now. But anyway.
But it was a big cultural difference for your family, wasn't it?
Well, to a certain point, yes. Of course, it was me. I loved slop in the mud, but at 8 years old. But I'm sure there was possible to get in the car and get out. But
what kinds of things did she do as a mother?
What did Opal do?
Uh-huh.
Well, she's always a good cook. And she usually belonged to a bridge club, and she entertained. And was always considered very pretty and always dressed nicely.
People would tell you, oh, your mother is pretty, or?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And so that was, but, you know, other than that, it's hard for me to look back as an 8-year-old to remember.
Did she, you know, pass on certain values to you, you know, or things that she wanted to instill in you, or did she say, you know, Helen, I want you to be really good at this, or, you know?
No, she didn't.
Did she have certain expectations that she wanted you, you know?
Well, I always knew the expectation was to learn to take care of yourself, and that meant education, and that was what they both felt was important, particularly for a woman. Well, not just for a woman, but for men too. But since I was the only one, that's what they wanted for me. That's why they sent me to the girls' school. That's why they sent me to Ward Belmont. So
Did you have a family-style meal every night with your family, with your parents?
Oh, yes. Always.
And
of course, it was that I didn't eat, but
why didn't you eat?
Because I just was cranky, and I never was one to eat much, and I liked very few things. I like steak and potatoes, and I might even eat some peas.
You were picky?
I was picky, picky, picky.
And so did your parents give you a hard time about that?
No. They tried to get me to eat. And I would just, they would fix, you know. Chicken, only thing I liked about chicken was the gizzard. So we'd have fried chicken. They always saw I had a gizzard. But...
Did your mother ever make custard meals just from you that would be different?
No. Except the only thing she would do is if we had peas, or even asparagus, she'd put them cold in a little dish with no seasoning. I'd eat it that way. Oh, I was that way till, I guess till I went away to school.
So were you really burnt then, skinny from just not eating?
I was not heavy, but I never had the genes to be heavy until now, and I have to watch now.
So, you know, when you came home from school, before you went away to school, did your mother have cookies waiting for you, or did you
come home?
What was it like when you came home from school? Mm-hmm. Did you have your own playtime, and you did what you wanted,
I did what I wanted. When I got out of school, I usually was on my own. I'd get my skates and go skating with my friends or whatever. I had a neighbor next door when I was little and when I was very young, before I hit high school, and we'd play together. And that was, you know, when I got home from school, that's what I'd do. And then I guess I must not have had much homework, because I don't ever remember doing a lot of homework.
Do you remember the differences? Because you said you had moved around quite a bit. You went to a lot of different schools. Were there big differences, you know, when you went to, like, Science Hill, for example, like, academically was really challenging, you know, versus some of the other schools you went to?
Well, it was always more demanding than a public school. But other than that, and of course with the private schools, there were sports, and which there were not in my day at all at public school. They could call it recess, but not even much of that.
So it must have been challenging for Opal to move around quite a bit with her husband.
Well, now we really didn't move around that much. Now they moved when he was first in the service. Before I was born, I think they did move from Army Post to Army Post. But then after we came to, he got out of the service, and we went to Cornell, and that's in New York, Ithaca, New York. And when we went there, I'm gonna say we were there about 3 years. Then we went to Lafayette, and I can remember when I lived in Lafayette. Now, it may be we were at Cornell a couple of years, because when we were at, I have pictures of me, which I think you got in Opal's box, the pictures of me as a little girl. That was taken in Lafayette. And then that was when I think there was even one with a puppy dog, a little pup, and
little pony.
Trouble, I think was the name. And then when we moved to the other side of Lafayette, I was either going to kindergarten or first grade, and I'm thinking it was first grade. So that meant I was probably six, and I probably was six or seven before we left there and went to Moorhead.
And how did Opal meet your father?
I think they were both living in Paintsville, and you know, I'm assuming that there was where they met. I don't know how they met.
Do you know how they got married?
I know the minister was Brother Banks, and I think he married them. there in Paintsville. Because Brother Banks married Uncle Stanley in Aunt Oma, and then also married Marguerite and her first husband. But I think he was the one that married him. But no, I don't know anything about that. And I don't remember hearing much about it.
Was Opal similar in personality to your father?
Was she
similar in personality to your father?
Similar, did you say?
Yeah, were they very similar in terms of their likes, dislikes?
No, she was more outgoing. He was quiet. And she was just a whole lot more outgoing than he was. But he was very affable, and everybody liked him. But he was not nearly as outgoing as my mother was.
So what kind of relationship did they have? And did it change over time, or was it always pretty much the same as you remember?
Well, they always had the problem about drinking, because my father was a binge drinker. And they always had that problem. And he would start drinking and drink for a week or two and then get off of it, and he'd be fine. But he wasn't. I can't speak to that exactly, because I don't know. But
was it a he went overseas during World War One, right?
Well, not for long. See, actually, the war was over before I was born. But he went over after I was born. And I don't think he was there very long. But he did get a taste of what it was over there.
I didn't know if maybe that was when he started drinking. I don't know.
I really don't know.
Was it always a component in your life as a kid where he had this issue? Or did it start?
Always was.
Always was.
As long as I can remember. Now, I think after he did quit drinking when they divorced. And I think after a period of time, he went back in the service. And he was in a boys' school in Wisconsin. And I can't remember the name of it. And then from there, he was, he had a brother in Wellsville, Ohio. And he visited there a lot when he was doing the heavy drinking. And then he got back in the service. And he went back to this place in Wisconsin. And then he came back to Wellsville, and he married a friend of his brother's, who had a daughter and a son. And they moved to Jackson, Mississippi. And I went to Jackson and stayed about a month. And then from Jackson, he went to Birmingham. And then he retired, I think, in Birmingham from the school system there, the ROTC program. And then he went in as assistant to the mayor of Homewood, because that's where they built, they owned a home. And that's where he was living when he died.
So how did she manage this issue with her husband? How did she work around him, and how did she live a life, and how did she cope?
Well, I think she tried to nag, and that didn't work, because that just created more drinking. So I don't know. But, you know, he wasn't drink for a week and be off and then drink for a week. He would be on a binge for a couple of weeks, and then he'd go maybe 2 years without touching a drop. So, you know, don't ask me how she did. She just managed. And I'm sure the reason she managed was because they wanted this education for me. So that's what I'm thinking.
So she made that sacrifice to stay with him?
Yes, because when I married, she put divorce papers in within 2 weeks.
When he went on these binge drinking memo, did he, was it in the house? Was it in your house?
No, he would, no, no.
He would leave the house?
He would, no, he'd go on to work and everything, but he'd just drink.
Did people in the community know this?
Well, I'm assuming they did.
So he led a normal, he would go to work drinking, like yeah. when he,
yeah.
and then he,
or maybe he, maybe he'd wait till he came home. I see, this was when I was pretty young and I was not that much conscious of it.
But it continued throughout your life, right? I mean, up until
well, yes. But when I was real young, I don't remember any of that. And I, you know, I just remember it after I got up 7th, 8th grade or up like that, that I remembered. And then, it, as I said, it wasn't all the time. It was just, he'd go on one, go on a binge for a week or two, and then he would be off of it for 2 or 3 years.
And was this a big embarrassment for Opal?
I'm sure it was.
And did she purposely keep alcohol out of the house? Obviously, like, I mean, was it just like off limits? Just
that's right. That's right. That's right.
And were there other people in his family that were like that in all? Did he have any brothers or?
Yes, brothers? I think there were others in the family. Now, I don't want to pick them out, but I think there were some that did that. Not all of them, but maybe one or two. Brothers. See, he had several brothers. And now three of them that I do know, I did know Garland. And he did not. And then Heber, I think Heber was, you know, would have a drink, but he did not, he didn't binge drink. And Leslie, I think, was that his name? That wasn't his name. Well,
so Opal was married to a man, and it would basically happen, you know, like 2 years would be fine, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Well, it was a time period.
Or would it be more frequent than that?
I don't, you know, I'm not real sure, because the fact that I probably was in school and was not that much aware of it. And, but periodically, we'll put it that way.
So that might have been one of the incentives for you to go away to school, too. That, I mean, was it?
No, I don't think so.
Had nothing to do with getting away
from college? I don't think it had anything to do with it. No, I don't.
Did he ever, when he was under the influence, did he ever do anything to hurt Opal, or was there ever anything damaging in your family
no.
that you remember?
No. He did more damage to himself than he did to anybody else.
And then, do you remember, you know, when you first gave birth to Pat, do you remember, you know, Opal's reaction, and did you
oh, she was tickled. We were playing cards at Nanny's, and Opal and Nanny and some other friend of Nanny's was there, and we were playing cards, and I began to feel something. My mother was saying, "This is the day you should have taken a little castor oil." And so, of course, by the next morning, things were moving along. So she was excited and delighted and tickled to death. The baby was born on her birthday.
And then tell me a little bit about her life after she got divorced and what she did with herself. And I know she had a career.
Well, she went to school so she could learn to take care of herself. And she...
how old would you say she was when she went back to school?
In her 40s. And I'm trying to think of the name of the school, but it was in Lexington. And she took training to be a stenographer, and she learned typing and shorthand and all of that. And Pat was just 3 or 4 months old when she got a job in Washington. And that's when she left and went up there. And then, of course, I can't say. She seemed to be just tickled to death and very happy and had great social life and everything up there. And was, you know, everything was fine as far as I know. At least that was what I was led to believe.
Did you go up and visit her?
I think I was up there once or twice. But I didn't go then a lot. And no, I didn't. I didn't go a lot because I had children that I had to deal with at home.
So when you went up to visit her, did you take all the kids?
Well, I remember once when we went up there and we went to the zoo, and I took the children. But then I'm trying to think. I think maybe I went up for a weekend and probably Nanny took care of Pat or something like that. But I didn't go up there a lot.
And tell me about when you found out she was going to be moving to Japan.
Well, she just called and said that she had been permitted to go. She had the opportunity to go, and it was to be for a 3-year stint, and she would be living in Japanese, in American barracks in Kukura, Japan. And she was very excited, and I was just tickled to death for her. I just thought it was great. And she loved being over there every minute of it, and she wouldn't have come back except Granddaddy. She was, you know, knew Granddaddy was getting older. He was probably 95 or something like that at the time. So she said that he would, she would come back, which she did. And but she was never much very happy after that, because she was in Richmond, Virginia, and I don't think she was ever very happy there. But and then she probably had begun to drink a good deal, and that was giving her a lot of problems. But
what did she tell you about her life in Japan?
Well,
what did you know about it?
Well, it was just that it was a very exciting life, and she loved it. She had wonderful, she wished I had the servants that she had over there that were so neat and so inexpensive, because she lived in government barracks, and of course they had government dining room and everything, and they could, they were limited to a certain extent about where they went. But mostly, you know, they were open to go any place. And I've found a thing of the pictures that I put in book form. They're all black and white, but and the colors are all in downstairs in color slides. And there were a world of those. And she had a lot of friends. I think there were 7 women in her group that went. And they were out of her office, and they were very compatible, and they had a good time. And she met a colonel over there that she was very much interested in, and he was very much interested in her. But he was married, and his wife was there, and so nothing ever developed from that. But I think she was very much interested in that. And it was... for her, a very exciting time.
Did she talk to you? Did she sample Japanese cuisine? And were there certain parts about the culture that she wrote back and talked with you about?
No. No, she didn't. She just would mention things. The places, some of the places that she was, she would talk about how attractive they were and how neat they were. And mostly she was kind of dreading coming home because said she had been, you know, it had been so neat being over there.
And she regretted it?
Huh?
Do you think she regretted not staying?
Well, in a way, yes, I do.
Her life, like just the way she...
Well, it just, she felt she didn't have a choice, that she had to come back here because of her parents. But she would like to have stayed, and so that's the way it was.
Well, you mentioned her relationship with Charles. What was it like? She had one other sibling, right?
Yes.
What was her relationship with?
Well, they had battled all their lives. Because he was a little bit older, probably enough older to, you know, to give her a hard time. But I can remember, they lived in Cincinnati and we lived in Carrollton, 45 miles apart. And we used to go up there very often when they lived in Cincinnati and when Gaby Louise was little. And there was always a good relationship there. And they came
Stanley?
To...
Is this Stanley? Older brother?
Older brother. And he came, they came to our house and we went to their house. And then we met at Mamaw's house and had family reunions there, and then until then he was with the railroad also, but the B&O, and then he moved to Baltimore, and from that time on it was just once a year thing. We'd see him, they'd come to visit Mamaw and Granddaddy, and we would all get together for a meal, and but they were not exceptionally close, but they were well,
what were the issues?
No issues.
Just civil rivalry or?
No issues. No, that was just a matter of distance.
Just distance.
Baltimore and here.
And what about, she had another sister, Marguerite.
Yes.
What about?
Marguerite was always spoiled. She was Mamaw's baby after Helen died. And she was pretty and she made the most of it. And they had her up for Miss Winchester, which she won. And then she went to Miss Kentucky, and she was first runner-up, or second runner-up, one or the other. I've never known. I've heard everything. And so she always... always was a party girl and have a good time, and she lived at home, and then she came to our house and she stayed at our house a lot, and then she met her first husband, who lived a short distance away.
Was this really typical back then to have different siblings come in and live with you, like Charles lived with you, Marguerite lived with you? I mean, was this really typical back then that families just did this, or
well,
was it kind of unique? It just seems kind of atypical to me now.
Well, no, I think it was, we didn't think anything about it. But I think of course, with Charles, he was going to work. Now, I don't know why Charles didn't finish college, and he may have, but I didn't think he had. And so he came down, and actually, he didn't. He started living with us, but then he got this job with my dad up at Vivi, and so he moved up there, and that's where he lived. But then when he got sick and there was no hospital, they brought him to our house. But and with Marguerite, I think it was we were trying to get her. I don't know, Marguerite was always just Marguerite. And she was, I assume she came to visit, and this fella met her and thought she was pretty cute and married her. And that didn't last long. I can't remember how long it lasted, a couple of years maybe. But she, Marguerite, wanted, she wasn't into being a housewife and taking care of a husband, and she wanted to party and have a good time, so that fell through. And then she moved, well, she lived with us any number of times.
And was that always okay with Opal if Reedy was there? I mean, was it an issue? Or
No, it was okay. It was okay as long as she, you know, wanted to complain about her. You know, she needed to learn to do something. And Marguerite did. She finally got jobs at some of the department stores, Wolf Wiles and some of the other department stores. She got a job and would clerk and always was good at it, because she would please people, and she knew how to do that. So
so did she help support your family? Like, did she like bring money in as a boarder or anything like that?
No.
She just lived with your family?
Well,
not
with us that much, because she was married, and then by the time she got unmarried, then I was back in Mount Sterling, I guess. And so she was at home, and then she was going with this, well, she was going with a man from here at that time. But she just didn't, she always was a party girl.
Did you like having her in your house?
Well, and she lived with us. After Perk and I married, she lived with us a while. Yes. And not usually.
Why?
Huh?
Why? Financially she needed to?
I don't know why. Well, she came to help me when Pat was a baby, I can remember.
Oh, she wanted
and she'll
to help
tell
me.
And she'll tell you that she had to rinse those diapers 5 times. And she did it. So, anyway. But that was.
So she came to help you then?
At that time, yes.
That's nice.
Yes. But she's been here and there. And
Well, Opal sounds like she was a supportive, sister in terms of with Charles.
She was.
And with Marguerite.
She was.
And did she ever think about having another child? Or did she ever want another child? Or
I don't think she could have another child. I think she had female disorders.
Did she tell you that, or?
I think I remember that. That's why she didn't have any more.
She never talked to you about it?
Well, it was not, in those days, it was not an open discussion.
Okay. And were you somewhat spoiled just being an only child?
I probably was. You can't have an only child and not spoil them some. But, and of course, I thought I was the most mistreated child that ever lived, but that's normal too, so.
And why would you have complained about being mistreated?
Because I didn't always get my way. But that, I think, is normal too.